Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today in the studios is Mike Bola. Mike is with the Heritage Life Path Organization. He is going to be my co-host today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Sam.
How are you doing today?
Really good. Thanks.
Well, we appreciate you being with us. We certainly appreciate you developing and setting up the program today, which is going to be a little different than what we normally do. Today's going to be kind of an extension of a show that we did with Mike about 3 to 4 weeks ago, just prior to Veterans Day. At that time, Mike suggested that I bring two acquaintances of his onto the show to develop an idea that he had, and we're going to do that in honor of our veterans and to hopefully bring some very good, solid information, useful information that our veterans can use. So, Mike, with that, I welcome you once again, and I thank you for allowing us to have this opportunity.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Our two guests in the show today are two veterans, Colonel Mike Roberts and Joe LaBranch. Both of these are veterans. I'm assuming both of you are Marines or ex-Marine. I'm sorry. Colonel's giving me a dirty look. I apologize, Colonel. tell me your branch of service.
No dirty look deserved, for sure. Marines are wonderful people. I'm with the Army. I spent 30-plus years in military service.
Okay. All right. Well, I apologize to our men in the Army. I certainly don't want to pay any favoritism here, though my daughter did apply to the Naval Academy, so maybe I do have a little. Okay, let's get started. Colonel Roberts is over a unique program, unique to the state of Georgia, which is truly in its developmental phase, but certainly close to being rolled out across the state, I believe. We want to specifically talk about that. That program is called Warrior to Citizens. And Joe kind of heads up a program that is an offshoot of the Warrior to Citizen program called About Face. So with that, we're going to begin. We're going to ask Colonel Roberts to kind of give us just a little bit of your background. And then we'll flip over to you, Joe. Then we'll get right to the programs.
Thank you, Sam. Well, I remember way, way back 30 years ago when I started, and I went through a traditional path of military, which is basic training, and, of course, moved through the ranks, and ended up really in the last 15 years of my career working in special forces and principally for three-letter agencies. So whatever I say here, Sam, we may not let you out of the room when we're done.
I'll be censored as I walk out, right?
In any case, the most gratifying part of this now second retirement came across the table when an adjutant general in the state of Georgia and his colonel asked me to help. I retired in 2004 from service. Went to work in the faculty of University of Georgia and moved back in town to enjoy grandchildren. And in essence, in the same path, this adjutant general said, let's look at what are the things that we're doing well in the state of Georgia to handle those soldiers that come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and the like that either have been hurt physically and or emotionally, and what are we doing well for them today, and what can we do to improve things? So we are engaged in that process after several years later, 2 years later, and we're about to launch Warrior to Citizen.
Very briefly, at the 40,000-foot level, give us a short snippet of what the Warrior to Citizen program is.
Warrior Citizen is a nonprofit that was created 13 months ago to provide a ability to help warriors transition from military life to civilian life, in principle. the focal point is to help them with their capabilities and skills in this transition, and to help them heal their body, mind, and spirit, which is so radically changed from war. And some of the things that are important to note, which most people are unaware, is that the average soldier and family member are really both deployed, and it's not just the warfighter.
Okay, very good. And sorry, excuse me for cutting you off. Let's stop there. I want to come back to you, and I would like for you to develop the idea or the topic of what are some of the statistics that bear out the tremendous psychological stress that our soldiers over. So let me sure. jump over to Joe next and introduce Joe LaBranch. Joe is an ex-Marine. Former Marine. Did a tour in Vietnam, if I'm correct, and was awarded 2 Purple Hearts for his service. So we want to begin with you, Joe. Why don't you tell us a little of your background?
Well, I'm with the VFW Post 9143 out of Cumming, Georgia. And being a Vietnam vet and being treated the way Vietnam veterans were treated when they came back, I didn't want today's veterans to experience the same things. And with the multiple deployments, I felt there was a need at the local level to assist these veterans, whether it be through their benefits, help them obtain their benefits, family assistance when they're deployed. We'll help the family with mortgage payments, car payments, utility bills, whatever. But the most important thing is the emotional support. We do the financial, but the emotional support is what we're really about, trying to help them, especially the family members, deal with somebody who has PTSD.
And what local area VFW are you associated with?
I'm with the Forsyth County.
Forsyth County. Okay, great. Well, thank you, Joe, for that information. Okay, Colonel Roberts, back to you. I think our listeners will be very interested in some of the statistics that you were telling us early about the trauma, psychological trauma, that veterans typically experience. Can you develop that for us?
Sure. Let me just start with the numbers of people that transition, which I think most civilians are unaware of, at least my experience has been. Almost 400,000 warfighters each year, for the last 10 years, have transitioned from warfare, from a theater of battle, back into civilization. In our state of Georgia, sizably less than that, of course, but we are the 5th largest state in the country of veterans and the 5th largest state with active military personnel transitioning. That translates to about 30,000 soldiers each year have been transitioning in and out of military life from a war zone to civilian life. They don't make it very, very easily for the following reasons, because the back-to-back deployments that have occurred are very unlike most other wars. The Mideast involvement has precipitated a need to put people in harm's way and continue that process, usually 2.5 tours on average. And they are followed back to back with very, very little in between time. So if you travel to Atlanta Hartsfield and you see a veteran and say, thanks very much, you may see that same veteran there a year later saying the same thing. And that has a very, 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 very impactful result. The impact is psychological, typically speaking, although there's tremendous amount of loss of, we've lost actually more people in suicides in the war, in this war, than we have literally in other skirmishes. So we've lost over 4,000 young men and women to suicide as a function of these back-to-back deployments, principally. The second reason is that the skirmishes are very different, unique, in that there is less predictability. There is IEDs that are killing people. They're losing limbs. We're keeping them alive longer. They're coming back as wounded warriors. But the emotional scars that are unseen are very, very profound and impactful and will affect a military person for the rest of their life. But as I mentioned earlier, they don't deploy alone. So that family member is also part of that system, and they are highly impacted.
Yeah, I'm going to qualify and apologize for my lack of understanding. I'm not a veteran. I don't have close relatives that have been. So I speak from a position certainly where I want to honor our veterans, but I speak from an ignorant position, so to speak. What is different today? And I know you talked about the back-to-back deployments. Why is that different than in Second World War or Korea or whatever it may be?
Psychologically, if you can think about the brain, the frontal lobe of the brain, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not a psychologist and not a psychiatrist. I deal with a lot of them in this program. Mm-hmm. And we've done a lot of detailed research with RAND Corporation and others. And what we do know is that the human brain has a resiliency factor, an ability to bounce back. But when you are looking at warfare and you are seeing things that you're not supposed to see or experiencing things you're not supposed to experience as a human being, the frontal lobe of your brain has scar tissue, basically. Your battle mind is changed radically every day, but it's consistently changed from what is a norm, and that is you're adrenaline rich, you're on guard 360. That happens for 10, 12, 13 months in a row. You get off for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You return back to that same methodology, that same process, and your physical body and your mental state physically changes. So in that change, PTS, psychological, basically post-traumatic stress occurs, or post-traumatic stress in variety of ways, mm-hmm. occurs, and variety of degrees. But at one point in time, we called it other things. In Vietnam, it was called, do you remember, Joe?
I think it was like shell shock.
Shell mm-hmm. shock, okay. Yeah. Or maybe shell shock in World War II. But the yeah. same principles applied, except you came back in a year and you were done.
Okay.
Now right. you come back and you're back again.
And that okay, so that clearly then, in my mind, is the difference in what I'm hearing you say in the, I don't want to say to it, in World War II, there was a deployment, Versailles. You right. went, you served, you came back, you were done.
Right.
The conflict also, if I'm correct, was relatively short-lived in comparison to the length of the conflicts that we now have.
Correct.
Correct? Okay. And so, therefore, the need and the necessity of the back-to-back deployments.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Let's develop what warrior to citizen is. We established that it is unique to the state of Georgia. How did that come? Well, you spoke earlier how it came about, but tell us what the mission, the goal of that program is.
Well, as I mentioned a little bit in a very high-level way, is transitioning the warfighter from a warfighter to a civilian. And that means building, first of all, a balance of that person's life, and then balance of that person's life, but uniquely done in a way that it's a systems approach with their family in parallel. So what we've developed is a campus model to bring families together with that warfighter for a 28-day period in four-week blocks. And in those 4 weeks, they will be educated and trained. They will be trained about themselves. They will be trained and educated about themselves in relationship to their family and the world. They'll be trained and educated about opportunities for developing skills, basic skills, core values, core skills. There's a variety of ways to do this. We've taken the best breed technologies from the military. We've built this across the thread of experiential with chaplains and with people that are social scientists. And we focused on the last week of the program to develop a life plan, but a life plan not only for the individual but for themselves in relationship to their family. So uniquely, it's a family program. It will work and focus on spouses and children at the same time, warfighters, and everyone will be a participant in the program. There'll be counseling available, professional counseling on site. There will be veteran-to-veteran counseling, group counseling. And then in turn, there'll be a follow-on program that is being built to provide this electronically through the Internet, as well as a spiral output, which is what Joe is involved with, which is called outphase.
Mm-hmm. Colonel, can people do this between deployments, or is this after they're discharged?
The focus in the first year of operation, which is in 2012 in February, will be to bring in those soldiers and family members that are going through reintegration.
Okay.
So they're either exiting the military or about to exit the military.
Let's take a step back, and again, I'm showing my ignorance, but so
it's
be
okay.
It. It's my show. I can do that. Why is it difficult? And I know you're not the psychologist but certainly you've got enough personal experience to be able to give me or
sure.
answer my question that appeases me. Why is it so difficult for a soldier to come back to the States and to integrate? I mean, I know you said there's changes within the frontal lobe, and I understand that. I mean, in my mind, the layperson, the non-military person, come back and get with it. In fact, honestly, my view is they should have an easier time. In my mind, these people are very, very disciplined, highly successful. I mean, these are the people that I want to work for me. I got to be honest with you.
Sure.
Those characteristics.
Well,
so what makes it difficult?
One of the problems is that the normal individual does not experience the trauma that a warrior does. I mean, to see your friends killed or wounded, and you see that and it stays in your mind, and you come back here and everybody expects you just to forget about it. It's almost impossible.
You know, Joe, and I really appreciate what you just said, because that would be, I mean, being able to see that, to live through that, to work through that, I would view that individual as being rock solid. That, again, that's the type of individual that I want to work for me. And yet what I'm hearing you say is that is true at a foundational level, but there's other baggage that comes along with that strength.
Baggage is a very important word, because that's exactly the way I perceive it to be. You can have this baggage in the background, which is what it usually does. It stays in the background. But the brain is a very interesting medium, because what's in the background, you tuck way, way back, comes back in flashbacks, and Joe and I have experienced those, and what comes back are horrific
yeah.
impacts. And so the average soldier and family member both are not the same people. And see, that's the difference. It's not necessarily the individual return. It's what's the residual, what's the fallout, what has happened to that family system as a function of abuse, of intolerance, of loss of patience, of anger, of resentment, of things that are emotionally uncontrollable in some ways with an average person that's been deployed back to back.
One of the big things is that you have to realize that a citizen may see or their family members may see a veteran one way. To the veteran, he's still the same.
I mean, Joe, sorry, I'm the guy. I see them as as achievers, as go-getters, as proactive individuals, strong. Again, the people I want to associate and I want to work for me, but there's other issues that you're speaking of.
Well, there's the stigma associated with PTSD. People think, well, he has PTSD, he could go postal.
Joe, can you explain real fast, what's PTSD?
Post-traumatic stress disorder. And also you have traumatic brain injury. You know, with the IUDs exploding, concussions. It's similar to a football player receiving a concussion. So for the normal citizen to even get into a mind of a veteran is nearly impossible, because it's hard to explain watching somebody with a leg blown off or, shot in the head or whatever. I could sit here all day and tell you, but you're not going to get it.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't, but what I do is appreciate for what you're saying, because the value that I place, the honor that I give you for doing what you do. I'm going to accept what you're saying and what the experts are saying about these warriors, and try to view this situation in a different light. I appreciate that. Let's go back to you, Colonel Roberts. Tell us a little bit, what are some of the specific things that the warrior to citizen is trying to accomplish?
What we're about to embark on in our first pilot in the month of February is to bring in 100 family members, including the warfighter and their spouses and children, and to address this issue of behavioral health issue that's so profoundly immense by giving them this counseling and training over that 28-day period, and then to build a set of metrics independent of ourselves so we can objectively affect change. We're hoping to address reduction of divorce. We're hoping to affect certainly reduction of suicidal ideations. We're hoping to impart a planning mechanism for that soldier's family, so that when they leave in 28 days, they have a template and a goal set and a bunch of skills that they can work on that will enable them to prosper, to reintegrate back into society, find a job, to turn their checking account around to something in the black, and to be in a position to start to interview for jobs that they may have lost while they've been deployed.
I mean, there's thousands of things rolling around that I'd love to speak with you about, and we just don't have time. Let's go back, though, and dovetail what you just said. I know earlier, and I brought this up, we didn't get to it. There are some alarming statistics in relationship to divorces and suicide rates of veterans. Just throw those out for our listening audience, if
sure.
You will.
Well, one preamble to that, to these stats is, you know, we consider that these warfighters wrote a blank check to America. And as such, they served the nation well. They stood up and protected each and every citizen in America. And they are now coming back totally different people, and they are totally bankrupt in a variety of ways. So I think when we address statistics, we get very, very numb by them. I can't tell you how many countless people I've said there are 19 suicides that happen every day of the week in our country, and 38 more unsuccessful attempts. Now, how does that compare to the rest of society? Well, it's exponentially larger than the rest of society. And there's a good reason for that, and some of the reasons we've talked about. The divorce rate in the state of Georgia, at any 1 week increment, there's 500 contested divorces in military families. That is three times larger than the rest of society. There are divorce rates that exceed 80% after the second deployment, within a year of being returned safely home. And that's if you're perfectly able and solid and you're not a wounded warrior. So some of the numbers are just frightening. They're not getting better. They're going to get worse. We're returning from Afghanistan, and short of being deployed somewhere else, these people are coming back in waves, and they are going to find themselves either unemployed, underemployed, or, in fact, if they're not, they're highly likely, if they're married, not to be married within a year. And then they'll be financially, again, as well as potentially emotionally bankrupt. So my comment on stats is that our society should be acutely aware of these numbers, but they should be acutely aware of a social responsibility to step up and try to help.
You have to remember that less than 1%, I repeat, less than 1% of the military age individuals actually have served the country in the last decade. And when you put those figures together with less than 1%, it's staggering.
You know, I have to be honest with you, gentlemen. I sit here and I shake my head about how naive that I, and I'm assuming, and I say this with all honesty, I'm assuming the general public is about what's going on with our veterans and our warriors. I really want to apologize, but the only thing I can do at this point is recognize my short-sightedness and try to help individuals like you all integrate.
Well, Sam, that's why we're here, not only to educate you, but to educate the general public.
I'm sure the listeners hear my voice. Okay, let's go on. Joe, you are kind of an offshoot of Warriors to Citizens program. Tell us what specifically, how you're specifically involved in this.
Well, let me back up a little bit. Back in April of last year, I heard about a program that was going to be talked about at Emory. So I attended that program, and that's where I met Colonel Roberts and some of the other board members of Warriors to Citizens. And having a similar program at the VFW level, I talked to Colonel Roberts about becoming involved in his program. And over that time, we've developed a friendship and a respect for each other's program. Colonel Roberts asked me, well, how can we interject both programs so that we both benefit? What we're doing is that Colonel Roberts and Warrior to Citizen, they have their program. Once an individual completes that program, and if they still need assistance, Warriors of Citizens will refer them to About Face. On the other side, Warriors to Citizens, if we have people come into our program that we feel qualify for Warrior to Citizen, we can refer them to Warrior to Citizen. On About Face, what we basically do is we educate the veteran when he comes back on his benefits. So many veterans do not realize that 5 years after from the day they discharge, for 5 years they have health insurance. Mm-hmm. A lot of veterans that I bring down to the VA do not realize that. So we help them complete their forms. We take them down there. We have a vet-to-vet program. It's a mutuality-based program where veterans come in. They could talk about anything they want to talk about. It doesn't have to be related to combat or whatever. We also are involved with the Forsyth County Mental Health Criminal Task Force, where we educate the judges on issues that veterans deal with. So rather than having the individual incarcerated, we ask that they be sent to our programs. We're kind of an offshoot of, for lack of a better word, a pilot program. We're the spoke for the big hub, which is W2C.
Well, we certainly appreciate both of these programs. I'd like to make, boy, I don't know if I want to take this personal or not. I'm probably to a point where, but I'd like for one of you, if you could, speak to a specific situation with a veteran that you've interacted with. What were some of the key issues for that individual? Don't obviously know names, but just what are some of the specific issues and how were you able to address those and help those? They're trying to decide which one's going to speak, but that's okay.
We're working with one individual, both the colonel and myself, who came back from Afghanistan and have the desire to go back. Although he's discharged, and we're trying to help him find work here in the States and kind of influence his mindset to stay back here in the States, seek help, and go to the VA, obtain your benefits, and see what the VA can do to help you. I know they have a vocational rehabilitation program where they will take veterans and put them into a program. They can go to school and take any subject they want. And they pay for all your tuition, your supplies. If you need a computer, they'll purchase a computer for you. So we're working with that individual. Another individual that About Face is working with is a former Navy SEAL who fought in Vietnam, who has PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, has diabetes, ischemic heart disease, and cancer. And a lot of those are from Agent Orange in Vietnam. His wife contacted us and asked if we could help remodel their bathroom because the bathroom had a bathtub in it, and he can't get in the bathtub. So we're in the process of destruction. We're going to destroy the bathroom, and then we're going to rebuild it with a shower so that he can just roll into the shower. And the most gratifying thing is to see the look on both the wife and the husband's face. I mean, they started crying when we told them we would do it. And it's not only helping the vet, but selfishly it's a gratification I get when I see those people.
I'm sure I understand a little bit about that. This is a great segue to Mike. For our listening audience, Mike Bola, who is over at Heritage Life Path, has an organization that also assists the vets. We spoke of this earlier, but I'm going to give you the mic, Mike, and allow you to tell us a little bit of what you're doing with the veterans.
Well, we work with I've been working with Joe for a while, and basically we have the same approach. We want the veterans to know what their benefits are. We sort of attack a specific part of that with aid and attendance and with compensation, where what Joe and the colonel are doing is much broader. I mean, they're getting into the mental health issues and the jobs, and really I help veterans get an income every month, but they're really doing much more. So that's why we sort of work together well and want to work together even more. So what we really do is really help the veteran apply to the VA to get certain benefits. And then I refer them to the colonel and to Joe for, you know, the other things that they would need. So I think it's going to be a good team as we go forward. There's even other people we're talking to. This is really a huge endeavor. It sounds simple because we're doing it on the radio, but what they're really, you know, I see a lot of veterans, mostly older veterans, but I see a lot of the guys coming back from Afghanistan, and what they're really trying to do is change lives. I mean, I see how lost people get trying to apply to the VA for benefits, and you have to talk federal speak and all this. A lot of people get lost in the system. It's not VA is a great organization, but if you don't talk their language, people get lost and the VA gets lost. I think what the Colonel and Joe are trying to do is teach people, you know, what I call federal speak and how you get the benefits and what you do and how you get back into society. I think these are two of the best organizations that I've personally seen.
That's great. Go ahead, Joe.
Mike is an integral part of About Face. Aid and attendance, and I'll ask Mike to explain that here in a second, but I've referred a number of people from outside the VFW and the VFW that benefit from Mike's services. Mike doesn't charge for this. He does this on his own. He's a volunteer, just like everybody else in About Face. But when I was introduced to Mike and we formed this partnership and brought him aboard About Face, we didn't know of too many veterans that needed assistance. But once we got the word out, they came out of the woodwork. You know, you have these older veterans who are disabled in a way that need assistance. Aid and attendance, very difficult for an individual to complete the forms. But Mike does that form, and I'll have you tell us what aid and attendance is about and caregivers.
What aid and attendance is, it's a benefit through the VA where the VA will assist veterans coming back or the veterans who have served in earlier wars to pay for home care, assisted living. It's a way to get them the care that they need. Oftentimes to pay for, like we were talking about, the showers and stuff, it's a way to do that. And like I said, Joe, the thing I've seen the most since I've been doing this is people just don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to apply. Just like what the colonel was saying before, they don't know how to get a job. They don't know how to do a lot of things. And I think what I see from the older veterans and from the younger veterans now is, and I don't think it's intentional, but even for the most part, the government has this idea in their head that they can bring these guys back, pretty much park them, colonel, where they're going to live and say good luck. And I don't think that we do a good enough job in letting them know what benefits are available, because there's some good benefits out there. But what I think happens in this partnership, we're going above and beyond veterans' benefits. You guys are getting into territories that I think are tremendous, much more than just getting them a benefit, but helping them get back into society. Because, yeah, I can find them the income, and it's great. But that's really where I end and where you guys pick up. So I think it's tremendous. I'm just amazed, Sam, what these two gentlemen are doing, because I'm out there with the veterans, and I think it's terrific.
Yeah, that, and you know, the old saying, teach the guy to fish rather than give him a fish, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's one thing to give them even medical care, physical acute care, financial benefits, but if from an emotional state, they are not in a position to manage society well, what have you done? You really haven't done much at all, in my mind. Let me. A note was brought to my attention, and I want to address it briefly, and that has to do with females in the armed forces today. I'm old. I have this mindset of the male warrior. Are there things different or unique to the females as they are coming out of combat that might be unique to them?
Yes. some of those things, of course, are stereotypical that you have in the different branches, different ethos of a command, for example, and a perception of the female as a warrior. They are certainly doing their part, and particularly so in the last 10 years, and in becoming warriors and serving as warriors. They will probably do more of a part going forward, as the expectation is, even inclusive here in Georgia at Fort Benning. So one of the things that is unique about that general, in a general way, is that they operate in different ways than typically in battle, and so they are. They are treated in a different way by the command and by units, and that has a psychological impact. They are also mistreated, I must say. I say that off the record, not officially. The impact of that is being felt in the military. They are treated differently as it relates to support systems when they are returned as a unit, and they are impacted by that. They typically are the spouse that takes the children and the responsibility, and then there's no transition time for them to take that responsibility.
Real quick, and again, I'm probably asking you questions that you're uncomfortable simply because you're not the expert. Is there an issue with females, with mothers specifically, as they are returning from a deployment, whether it be 6 months, a year, whatnot, and coming back to the family and trying to now become that nurturer of the family? Is there anything specific there that...
Well, if you look at children, let's say that the average spouse that comes back is 26. Let's take a medium age of 26. And let's presume for the moment that spouse has been in the military since she has been 18 years old. She knows very little about civilian life, frankly, because she's been deployed and redeployed. But she also has children that have been there, as I said earlier, with that deployment and have been deployed themselves. So there's statistics about the five-year-old. There's studies, actually, to look at the high impact on the child that is below 5 years old. And it's all a function of the caregiving. So when that spouse comes back and is reintegrating, if she is not reintegrating in a very holistic way, that family unit is disenfranchised, and certainly fractured. And that's very typical for also the power structure change. She may have been overseas in some way, and she comes back, and the remaining spouse at home has lost the power in that family because her power is a very different measure as a military person than a non-military person. So there's another transition leap that simply creates consternation and frustration in the family unit.
So in short, it's easy to say that the female warriors have their own unique set of issues as they return, just as the males do.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming that a Warrior to Citizens is developing some type of programs to address those issues too.
There are family programs specifically targeting women, targeting children, and there's family programs targeting the whole system themselves.
Okay, great.
As far as about FACE, we had a captain, female captain, who combat veteran, who was going to assist in the About FACE program, but unfortunately she was transferred to South Carolina. So that's one of the things that About FACE, if anybody wants to volunteer, if you're a female veteran, would like to get involved with About FACE, you can contact me.
Okay, and that's a good segue to Colonel Roberts. As we have spoken of, this is a program in development. It is going to be rolled out, as you said, early next year. What are some of the unique needs and specific issues that you'd like our listening audience to know about? How can they assist in these endeavors?
Well, answer it in this way, that this is a program that our heart's desire, our passion is about vets, for all vets. We've talked a lot about the transitioning from Iraq or Afghanistan and those kinds of issues, but this program is available to all vets and their families. That's the first part of the puzzle. And secondly, in order for that to be enabled, we have developed this over this two-year period. The various academic partners in our state, all of the partners in our state, are at the refinement stage of evolving the program to its pilot state, and that's in late January. We have a lot of work to be done between now and January, one of which is to recruit program managers and project managers, to recruit a treasurer, for example, to recruit people that have skills in web design. Although we have a partner in Georgia Tech, we still need people on the ground where they can commit time and treasure and talent. And we need a lot of volunteers.
I can certainly understand that. So if some of our listeners wish to kind of step up, how can they contact you? Who should they contact and how can they get involved?
They would contact me at my email address, which I think is a good start, and include their phone number and contact information. My email address is M as in Michael, R as in Romeo, the number 75, R as in Ranger, R as in Ranger, at gmail.com.
Okay, and once again, that's MR75RR at gmail.com.
Correct.
Colonel Roberts, we thank you from the depths of our heart. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam.
Joe, any last words?
Well, as any nonprofit group, when you're trying to, whether it be the community itself or veterans, when you're trying to go out there and assist them, it takes volunteers. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the key things we're looking for is a more female veteran involvement in our group. As far as contact, you can contact me via email as well at Joe Vet. That's V as in Victor, E as in Edward, T as in Tom, the number 2, Vet again. That's V as in Victor, E as in Tom, at bellsouth.net. You can just leave me a message. You give me your name, number, telephone number, and we'll definitely get back to you.
And let's make certain that if we have a listener outside of the Forsyth County area, and they need some assistance or they need some help, they could contact you, and I would imagine you can steer them to the right people. Is that correct?
We've helped soldiers as far as the way as Alabama and Tennessee. So you don't have to be in our area. And if we can't help you directly, we will direct you to somebody that can help you.
Okay, appreciate it. Mike, turn it to you. Any last words?
I think this is, like it says, it's two tremendous organizations, long overdue. And so I would encourage anybody, especially veterans at any age, to assist these guys in getting this up and running, because you know, we're an all volunteer army now. It's a different ball game. I deal with the people from World War II and Korea and even Vietnam, and now we have an all volunteer army. I think you're going to need more organizations like this that are going to help them reintegrate. Because like you said, Joe, there was no redeployment before because they just draft a whole bunch of more people. Well, that's probably not going to happen in the future. So I think what we have to do is look at the soldier and take greater care than maybe we used to because of the redeployments and because we're going to ask so much for them. So I just think these kind of organizations are just essential going forward.
Thank you very much. With that, let me once again express my heartfelt gratitude to the three of you for what you've done, what you're doing, and my gratitude to those for what they will do in the future. I certainly appreciate that. With that, I think I'm going to close. Typically, we have a tagline, but I'm going to forego that. And once again, encourage those in our listening audience who might want to get involved. Please, please, let's all get involved and understand what the need is. Thank you, and God bless.
Ujiria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.